Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Steve Benny, founder and publisher of the Silver Chartist Report, who just launched a new website and app as well. So I recommend checking that out. Very nice design. And Steve, I know headaches go into new websites and apps. We went through that last year. So thank you for taking some time and sharing some of your updated charts with us. As always, we will be posting some charts below this interview so you can follow along on the charts that we are talking about. We're going to start with the US dollar. We've talked a lot about the dollar this week, but rightfully so. The dollar has had a very strong month, and the chart we're starting with here is more of a long-term. 12-year monthly chart shows key support levels down in the 80s, but then it also shows this maybe double top. Who knows where we're going to go from here, but right around the 103, almost 104 level on the dollar index. Steve, what are you pointing out in this chart? Is the dollar going to top here at this 103 level?
Yeah, a couple things we could say about this chart and the dollar in general. But as a general rule of thumb, from a purely technical perspective, whenever you approach clear major resistance with the RSI above 70, it's very common to not break through that resistance on the first attempt. So I think it's reasonable to expect a short-term pullback in the dollar here. We're overbought. That said, the trend is clearly up in all time frames now, but we're clearly due for a pullback, which could coincide with a slight reprieve in the metals, as we've seen a pullback across, you know, precious metals and commodities the last week or so as well.
Well, Steve, if we also pivot over to the weekly dollar chart, you show that there was, you know, that $88 to $90 support down below where it did kind of an arc support, but it's been in a channel and the dollar has been steadily climbing in that uptrend channel. And then it just recently broke out above that channel to hit that major resistance at 103. When you see something break out of a channel like that, but then run into resistance, do you think it's kind of running out of steam, or could it just blow everybody away in kind of a short squeeze in the dollar?
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible. I like to say I deal in probabilities, not predictions. And I think the probabilities do strongly suggest a pullback in the dollar here. I mean, even on the weekly RSI, look at that. It's all the way up at 78. And I'm zooming way out on this chart. Last time I saw it, that overbought on the weekly chart is going back to 2015. So, you know, this is extreme, extreme overbought right against major resistance. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking for a pullback here. The 200-day moving average in the dollar is all the way down at 95. So a pullback towards there, sub 100, you know, down around 95 would not be surprising at all. But if we do bounce off of that support, you know, that would be indicative of, it would just reinforce the existing uptrend. So I'm not necessarily calling for like a reversal in trend here, just a pullback within the uptrend.
Okay, so the probability then being that the dollar could very well maintain its uptrend.
Yeah, from a purely technical perspective, that's what it looks like right now. It does. I mean, that defies logic, but we got to remember the dollar is measured against a basket of six other fiat currencies that are all losing purchasing power as well. And it just, you know, the dollar is losing purchasing power at a slower rate in this environment. So I could easily foresee the dollar continuing in an uptrend, but it's due for a sharp pullback.
Well, I know we're going to talk about the bonds next, Steve, but just from a macro standpoint, how much do you think the rise in interest rates and, you know, what the Fed policy is doing is behind this dollar rise? Mm-hmm. And how much of it do you think is maybe because of the initial Ukraine war situation, the lockdowns in China? I mean, how much of it is because of macro fundamental geopolitical issues, and how much of it is because of Fed policy and the interest rates taking off?
I think it's both kind of combined to cause this almost parabolic move in the dollar. And the geopolitical tensions, you know, it's the dollar gets a safe haven bid. And then the markets are forward looking, especially the currency and bond markets. And they were looking ahead and anticipating this Fed rate hike cycle. And I think most of that, if not all of it, is already priced in.
Yeah, well, let's see how far the Fed can go with their rate hikes. But boy, oh boy, the market is pricing in one of the most aggressive rate hiking cycles that our generation has ever seen. Let's move over to the bond market. I like this long-term chart that you have, a 40-year monthly chart of the 10-year treasury yield. Shows just how much of a bull market it was for bonds, as bonds were getting bought and yields were going down. However, boy, oh boy, has it been a very quick reversal and spike higher in yields right up to this downtrend line. Where do you think it goes from here, Steve?
Yeah, just like the dollar, yields are extremely overbought. So bonds are extremely oversold. And looking at this monthly RSI, it's the highest it's been since 1981. That's over 40 years. It's pretty historic, this move we've seen from 0.4% on the low end in March of 2020 up to just over 3% now, or just under 3%, I should say. So that's a really sharp move in a really short period of time, relatively speaking. And just like I was saying with the dollar, we're overbought against resistance. So I'm looking for a pullback in yields. But that said, the trend is higher. I believe the March 2000 spike there marked the end of a 40-year bond bull market. And that's highly significant because most money managers and investment professionals have never, they weren't alive for the last time in an environment of rising interest rates. So this is really going to change everything. But that said, you know, things back and fill. We're overextended here on the yield, and I think it's going to pull back. But I do think we're over the, you know, let's call it next year or so, we're probably going to see higher yields than this.
Yeah, Steve, nothing moves up in a straight line, but it has been an aggressive move up in the 10-year and in the 30-year and in the 2-year. And to your point, after a 40-year bond bubble where bonds only went up, so many people use that as a safe haven bid in their portfolios and think about the traditional 60-40, you know, 60% equities, 40% bond model that was in existence for 4 decades. That's all going to be turned on its head now as things have changed. But when you submitted a chart, you also put in one that goes from March of 2016 to present on the 10-year. And it shows that, you know, resistance up around the 2% yield area, which we blasted through now. But then it shows another resistance area up in the 3 to maybe 320 area. Do you think that's maybe the area where we'll start seeing things roll over and go back and test some of those trend lines or some of those previous support layers? You know, where are you looking at it for it to pull back to before the next leg higher?
Yeah, to be honest, it feels weird to say this because I never thought I would be buying or trading bonds. That's the last thing that was on my radar. But I see some trading opportunities here, and I'm scaling into some trading positions on bonds. So I think we could have already seen the peak in yields and the low in bonds, at least over the next, you know, intermediate term here, next couple of months. So I'm starting to nibble right here. Could we go just a little bit higher on the yields? Absolutely. But I think we're pretty darn close to a intermediate top here.
What sort of reversal are you looking for then? Because this spike in yields has happened so quickly, are you looking for the top to be put in a pretty quick decline then, or is it going to take a bit more time?
Well, it's tough to put a time frame on it. The way I manage that is from a trading perspective is I just keep moving my stops up if the trade moves in my favor. But yeah, I think like the vehicle I'm using is IEF. That's the 7 to 10 year bond ETF. And I think there's probably about 10 to 15% upside on that one. And I could easily see the yield on the 10-year pulling back to around 2% where there's that really strong horizontal support.
Well, Steve, just breaking out of the discussion for a second about trading, I really enjoy following your newsletter and your videos to subscribers. And you often talk about the difference between investing and trading. And in your trading account, it's a small percentage, but you have some rules around how you do things, how you do stop losses, how you look at these short duration trades. I'd love you to just unpack just really quickly how you approach trading and that particular part of your portfolio, which is just a smaller part, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I love that question. What I personally do is I take 10% of my overall mining stock portfolio. I put it in a separate dedicated account and I use that for trading. And the goal is monthly cash flow. And you have to think in different time frames. Trading is not investing and there are different. It's a different game with a very different set of rules. So, you know, sometimes people will be confused if I say, hey, I'm selling something or taking profits in a uranium stock that's moving nicely. And they'll be like, why are you selling it? Don't you think there's so much more upside? Yeah, I do. But the goal here in my trading account is, you know, to hit consistent singles. Monthly cash flow is the idea. And that's a totally different thing than investing. With trading, it's all about managing risk and preservation of capital. So for me, I always use a stop loss when I'm trading to keep my losses small. If my average winner is about twice the size of my average loser, I can be wrong over half the time and still be profitable in that trading account. And that's a very different approach than I take with longer term investing, where I'm willing to ride out these sharp pullbacks and downside volatility because I've got a longer time horizon.
All right, Steve, let's move over to the precious metals then. I know everybody wants to hear your updated calls there. Gold, it's down this month, but when you take into the big picture, since it's down less than the U.S. markets, quite frankly, we're just seeing a general sell-off in a lot of markets. But the first chart we'll go to is the weekly chart dating back to 2018 to the current time. We see a couple pennant formations here as well as some major support down at 1675, an uptrend line that you're pointing out. Fact of the matter is, gold did bounce up to about that 2100 level, pulled back very quickly, sitting right around 1900, just over 1900, past that most recent triangle formation where it broke to the upside. Where do you think gold goes from here?
Yep. So this chart is a little bit busier than I prefer, but at the same time, I just couldn't bring myself to eliminate any of those lines because I think they're all very relevant. So from a big picture perspective, what's playing out here in textbook fashion is the handle portion of a giant 10-year cup and handle pattern that has been discussed many times. And you can see on this weekly chart that handle portion of that formation. And we've got the weekly candle left a wick below, but then it looks like we're going to close back above. So as long as we hold that support, you know, this chart still looks beautiful. Now, I remember speaking to you guys about a month ago when we had that big run up towards 2078. I was saying, yeah, we're probably due for a pullback here, but from my perspective, this is a major trend change, and I'm holding to that forecast. I think we've seen a major trend change in gold and a resumption of the uptrend. And obviously, the definition of an uptrend is higher highs, higher lows. Well, the last swing low is about 1780. So from my perspective, as long as we make a higher low above 1780, we're still in an uptrend, and the chart looks healthy for gold. You've also got the 200-day moving average on the daily chart. Just above there, about 1834 today. I would actually love to see a pullback towards that 200-day. I think that would wash out just a little bit more of the speculative money that came in over the last couple months. And the 200-day actually coincides with this lower rail of a triangle pattern that if you draw that trend line from August of last year, 2021. So that's a nice, strong confluence of support right there about 1830. But so far, we're holding above 1880. So regardless of how that plays out, I think the chart looks constructive as long as we hold above 1780.
Well, Steve, you covered some of the weekly and even the daily there in that comment, but you mentioned the longer-term cup and handle pattern. So I guess I'll shift over to that monthly chart you posted. And it shows the large cup that, you know, from 2011 to 2020, that made the big saucer. And then we've had the handle that's formed. And then you also highlight the little mini cup and handle that we've had really since August of 2020 to that high at 2078. It made a new cup. And so I guess it's a double cup, a big cup and a little cup. And we're just in that corrective phase of the smaller cup now, or we're kind of still in that smaller cup, but we probably are making the handle in this corrective move. Where do you see things projecting from here longer term with such a big pattern? It's easy to get stuck in the short term pain because there's been pain the last 2 weeks in the precious metal sector. But if people set their sights on the big picture, where do you see things projecting out of this cup and handle pattern?
Yeah. So my baseline roadmap, and of course, like probabilities, not predictions, right? Anything can happen, and I'll change my forecast as new data coming in changes. But I think over the next few months, we're going to probably consolidate. And then once we break above $2,089, the lower end, a conservative measured move target is $2,500 gold. And that's just simple technical analysis. You just take the handle portion and kind of flip it over. It's about $400 between 1675 and 2089. And so you would just add that $400 to 2089, and for round numbers, that gives you $2,500. So that's one way to get a measured move target. You can also take the cup portion and flip that over, and that's about $1,000. That would give you a measured move target of around $3,000 gold. You know, that's not like in the next few weeks, obviously. We could consolidate here for another month or two or even longer. But once we get above 2089, I think we see a really nice move is the bottom line.
Yeah, let's just get above that 2089 level because, boy, oh, boy, has it put a top in that price. And price has corrected hard on the back of that a couple times now. So very key level to look at. What about silver? We'll finish off with silver here. We have a weekly chart for silver and really does a great job of outlining this sideways trading range that we are in. You have a little bit of a cup formation there. But quite frankly, talk about this trading range that has been going on for what feels like ever, but it's really only just been about a year and a half.
I will. Yeah. And as we're talking about the metals too, I think from a fundamental perspective, really the question everyone has to ask themselves is, do you think the Fed is trapped and they're going to eventually have to reverse course and sacrifice the dollar and allow inflation to run hot? If you believe that to be true, then the next logical conclusion would be that silver and gold are going to break out to the upside at some point here in the next few months. I personally, that's my fundamental conviction. And that's why I'm bullish over the next year or so, 6+ months, let's call it. But yeah, when you look at this weekly chart for silver, last week was a clear warning sign. It was forming its own little kind of bullish arc pattern here. But we had a bearish engulfing candle last week. And that was kind of a warning sign. That came on large volume, but support did hold. And then this week, now here we go, down again, almost 6% on the week. So I think we're probably closer to a bottom than a top, but it would not surprise me. I'm not expecting this, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we pull back towards $22 support. There's a lot of short interest, you know, from the big banks that still could be wrung out. They've been covering their shorts pretty aggressively this last couple of weeks, but I think they're still incentivized to have slightly lower prices. And I would view that personally as an opportunity if we pull back towards 22. But you can see this clear trading range. We're towards the lower rail of it, and we've gone nowhere since August 2020. And we're back at the lower portion of that sideways trading range.
Boy, that sums it up well, Steve. We really have gone nowhere in silver. It's been stuck in that range really between 22 and 28, which seems like forever, but it's really only been about a year and a half, 2 years. But you highlight on this other daily chart, the one-year silver chart, the upper resistance, 2750, bottom resistance, that 2150. I remember silver diving down intraday a couple times and hitting 2141, 2142, you know, that area. I would not want to see it break below there. But if for some reason it did, if we did have a big capitulative event, I know it's not on this chart, but where would you see support come in if 2150 was broken?
Yeah, really good question. The September 2019 high, as I hover over that, was 1975. That's pretty big support. 1975, I would call it a support zone down to about $18. So 18 to 1975 is very strong support. I think that's quite unlikely, but if that were to happen, that's where I'd look for support if 2150 were to give way to the downside.
So Steve, overall, how aggressive, how defensive are you being in these markets? It sounds like there is some potential for some pretty nice breakouts, but even as you said, time frame might not be in the next couple weeks, might take months, maybe even till the end of the year. So what's your strategy?
Yeah, I think a good way to put it is I think we're clearly in the buy zone, even though some downside risk remains. I started nibbling yesterday. I sent out some alerts to our members that I was adding shares to some of my favorite mining stocks. And it's been a while since I've added to those positions. So I think we're in the buy zone, even though we could go a little bit lower. I think downside risk is minimal relative to the upside potential if you've got a 1+ year time horizon. And junior silver miners are actually the most undervalued component of the whole precious metals sector. Some of these junior silver miners are trading, you know, almost down near their March 20 lows, their COVID spike lows. So some pretty crazy sell-offs in these junior silver miners. And I think this is a good spot to nibble if you've got the risk tolerance and time horizon.
Well, Steve, just one more thing before we wrap up. And that is, you always offer some interesting insights on trading psychology. When we get into these moments where sentiment starts to sour and people feel like, oh man, Steve, I bought all these juniors and they're not making any money. They're losing money and they're crashing again. Should I sell everything? You know, I'm sure you get a lot of emails like that from your subscribers. Yeah. What are some just basic words of advice you'd give investors as we part here just to keep them on the right track?
Sure. There's a saying, I say this to myself, whenever I feel smarter than I actually am, a sell-off usually isn't far off. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago here, just back in March, you know, we were all feeling pretty smart. And whenever you start to feel like that kind of euphoric optimism, that's usually a pretty good sentiment indicator that we're due for a pullback. And we've gotten that. And it's those times where you're just like, oh, I want to quit. Usually the bottom isn't far off. And I think we're pretty close to that point, if we haven't already seen it. Looking at this daily chart for silver, I mean, we tested pretty much to the penny the lower rail of that triangle pattern today. Could that triangle pattern fail? Sure, it's a short-term pattern. But we could have even seen the worst of it already.
Okay, Steve, always great chatting with you, buddy. Thank you again for sharing these charts with us, and we'll follow up with you hopefully in a couple of weeks just to see what other moves we might have and what trends might develop on the back of a new month and another rate hike coming from the Fed next week. Steve, thank you as always for your time, buddy. I hope you have a great weekend.
You bet. I'll talk to you guys soon.